Glad to be here to fill in for Ben. I can only imagine what it would be like having to prepare a sermon and have no sleep. It's hard enough with sleep, right? Our text this morning will be from 1 John chapter 3, in verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word in this little bit of time we have together today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work, that your name would be magnified, and that, Lord, you would show us a bit of who you are and who we are, those who have called upon the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do his good work in revealing the word, that only what is true and right and pure would be remembered today, and that your people would be edified, and that your kingdom would benefit, and that as we go from this place, Lord, we would be encouraged and refreshed and renewed for the challenges that are ahead of us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a little over 5 years ago now, back in the spring of 2013, I remember very clearly one particular Friday at work, almost like it was yesterday. I was working in the lab in the room, the next room over from my desk, and I could hear the phone ringing. It was probably a little bit before lunchtime, and I was busy at the time, so I thought, I'll just let the machine get it. You know, they can call back later. And after I finished my work, I went back to my desk and checked my email, and I had an email with just one line in it from Melanie, and it said in capital letters, "Call me back ASAP." So I knew something was up. And it turns out she was the one that was trying to call me earlier. We had been waiting for a call from our adoption agency. The call. For over 2.5 years, we had waited and we finally got it. The call. To make a long story short, we weren't expecting it, but there was a baby being born that very day in West Virginia. And our agency had called Melanie at work, and they wanted to know, were we interested in adopting this child? And of course, we were. So we left early from work and packed our things, and we were off to West Virginia to meet our new daughter, Maya. We were about to adopt. Now, most of you already know our story from then until now, but my point in relating this to you is to remind you that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been adopted too. The big idea from our passage today from 1 John 3 is that through faith in Jesus Christ, through the gospel, you have been called a beloved child of God. And as a result of adoption into his family, you've been given a reason for hope and for holy living. You know, when we drove to West Virginia, we had never seen Maya before. In fact, she was being born while we were on the way there. So you could say there was nothing in her that we saw or could see that made us choose to adopt her. All we knew was that there was a baby girl that needed a family, and we were going to be her daddy and mommy, and she was going to be our daughter. And it was as simple as that. And in a similar way, the love for God for us is like that. There's nothing in us that God sees that causes him to choose us. But he knows us. He knows all about us. The Bible says he knew all about us before we were even born. In fact, rather than seeing something in us, He loves us while we're yet in our sin. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he chose to place his love on us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 says. God calls us to be his children and adopts us into his family purely as an act of love. Which brings me to the first thing I want you to note from our text, the gift of love. Look back at verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. The idea here is that we're called children of God. We're not his children by birth. It's by an overflow of his love and grace that from his own mouth, God calls us in Jesus to be his children. We see proof of that distinction in the second half of the verse as well. It says, for this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. See, there are those whom God has called to be his children, and there are those, the world, who does not know us, his children, because they do not know God. By a sheer act of God's sovereign grace, we, who have put our faith and trust in Jesus to rescue us, are called his special people. In fact, in the very next verse, he calls us his beloved, the children of God. And that's the second thing I'd like to note from the text, the hope in love. We've already mentioned the gift of love, God's calling us to be his children. Now let's talk about the hope that we have in that love. I'm sure we've all experienced the feeling, that particular feeling we have on Christmas Eve. Maybe you still do. Maybe it was like that for you this past year. Just before bedtime, presents are wrapped, the cookies are baked, the decorating is done, and the wait is over. Christmas is coming. Or has it? Not quite yet, but it's almost here. The anticipation, the hope, the dreaming about what will be and what will come Christmas morning fills our minds. May I submit to you that there's something like that going on here in verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Notice what the Apostle John says. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. There's a mystery here. As followers of Jesus, now we are children of God. We can enjoy the blessings that come with knowing we're God's children. We've been forgiven our sins, declared righteous in God's sight, and given the hope of eternal life. But what will that life look like in heaven? That's the not yet part. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. But when will that be? We don't know. We're not told. But we do know from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2, which says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And so we have this hope, don't we? That when Jesus himself returns, those of us who are called to be his children will be with him, will be changed, and we'll see him as he is. We have this hope of heaven, which leads us to the third thing I want to note from the text, the result of love. We've seen the gift of love, God's love in calling us his children, the hope in love, the blessings we have now, but also the not yet realized future hope of what will be, and third, the result of love. Who was your hero as a child? You remember? Maybe you had one in particular or several over time. I remember looking at old family photos, seeing my brother Dave dressed like Superman flying over the bushes, and you could see somebody's arms were holding him up there, so it looked like he was flying. It was probably my dad. But for me, I remember different times in elementary school, I had different NFL heroes. So we would go out to recess and I would pretend I was either Walter Payton or Jim McMahon from the 85 Bears. Those were my heroes. We all had heroes, didn't we? And what did we do? We pretended to be like them. We dressed like them. We acted like them. We imitated the things that they did. You know that we, those of us who are called the beloved, the children of God, the ones who have their hope in Jesus, we're to be doing the same kind of thing. Look back at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. But what does this mean? Well, we're to be a people who seek after righteousness. Because we want to see and we want to be like Jesus, who's pure, holy, and righteous. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So purifying ourselves means holy living. Following after Jesus, our example, our hero, if we can put it that way. We read earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read it again from verses 1 and 2. Paul says, we're to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 that we are to be seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Now, does that mean we're living sinlessly perfect lives? Of course not. Only Jesus did and could do that. He lived the perfect life and died to give us life. But what it does mean is that if we have our hope fixed on him, because he first called us and loved us, we follow him and strive to live holy lives to show our love for him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we do. Not perfectly. We stumble and often fail. Not because keeping his commandments somehow earns us our salvation. It's because he first loved us. He called us to be his children, forgave us of our sins, when we came to him in repentance and faith. And he gave us a future hope of eternal life with him. So we've seen the gift of love, God's love bestowed on us and calling us his children, the hope in love. We are now his children, and yet we have a future hope of eternal life and being made like him. And finally, the result of love. We live holy and pure lives because he's given us that hope. And we want to be like him. And to please him and to be with him. So as we think about this, I want to consider this question. What does holiness look like in us? Specifically, what does a follower of Jesus who has this hope do to purify himself? I'm sure we can think of all kinds of examples, whether it's purity in our thoughts, honesty in our work or our job, or with our friends or our family, sexual purity in marriage, chastity if we aren't married, honoring and praying for our leaders, any number of things. Let's just take one example. Purity in our speech. Maybe this week we need to think about, as we read in James, purity by working to tame our tongue. Maybe it's that juicy piece of gossip that we hear and we just can't resist passing along. Or maybe we use harsh language with our coworkers, or we're disrespectful to our boss. Maybe it's we need to use positive words to encourage our spouse after they've had a long day of work. Whatever it is, even if we concentrate on just one thing this week, hopefully it's more, Let's strive for holiness, especially in something as powerful and important as our speech. We've been given an immeasurable gift, one that we didn't deserve in being called God's children. We have a promise now, as well as a future hope, that we will be made like him, be with him, and see him as he is. But until then, let's strive to live pure and holy lives for his glory and his great name's sake. Let's pray. Father, I pray that